Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have three guests. I have Scott Linder is here. Scott, say...
What's up?
I know I... Not much. While you're drinking tea is when I introduce you. I'm sorry
it's
about
coffee.
That. It's coffee.
Coffee. Not much.
And then we've got Emilio Savone.
I wish I had some coffee, Scott.
There are a couple. And then we've got Tina Constance is back.
Hey.
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 Thank you guys for all coming on. Let's get right into it. So, Emilio and Scott...
Jim's going to make you coffee.
No, I don't really want coffee,
guys,
actually. Okay.
Focus. First of all, so this is at Pinch Recording Studios, and it's powered by New York Comedy Club.
Sure.
The coolest club in New York City.
If you say so, Kate.
It's not the coolest club in New York.
Really?
It's the second coolest club in
New York. What do you think the coolest
one actually, is? Actually, who gives a shit? You know what I mean?
Well, what's the coolest club?
The Comedy Cellar.
I think that's probably the most known. Like, yeah. If I meet someone and they're like, oh, do you perform at the Cellar? But honestly, in terms of vibes, have you ever been at the Cellar, Tina?
Yeah.
In terms of vibes, I personally, listen, I've never performed at the Cellar, so I'm not dissing it. I'm sure if they asked me, I'd be like, yeah, of course.
Why haven't you performed at the Comedy Cellar?
I just don't push my agent or manager to, oh, you're turning
oh,
it on
why?
Me to ask. No, I haven't even tried to go for it.
Why not?
I don't know. It doesn't feel, it's not my highest excitement, and I try to follow my soul song.
What is that?
Are you really trying to be a pain right now? Are you?
No, I'm not. I'm being serious.
A soul song for me
what's
is like
song?
Your truest vibration within you and what makes you the happiest. What's the most you? And it can like shift and, you know, evolve. But for me, you know, my home clubs are Stand Up New York and New York Comedy Club. And I'm right now, and then I get, around in different random shows, but I'm pretty happy, and half the week I can't really get up anyway because I have my son. So I don't know. I like those clubs.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're a young club, you know, in the sense of we deal with a lot of young comedians. So that in itself creates this like kind of, I guess people perceive it to be a cool vibe. I mean, whereas the Cellar obviously is more focused on like the more veteran comics. It's kind of like a validation thing to get into the Cellar, right? So, you know, where we're, I think, a little bit more open to, you know, comics maybe who don't necessarily need to have, you know, these huge TV credits and stuff like that. So it's more of an open place. But listen, I'm not trying to make this about the Cellar and us. The Cellar, I mean, I agree with Scott. The Cellar is, you know, the Yankee Stadium, if you will, of comedy in New York. But
listen, if the Cellar wanted to have me on their lineup, I would be very excited about it. No, but I'm not the typical comedian where I'm not like, I need, like, listen, once again, I would do a late night set and I should start pushing for it more, but I'm not the typical comic. I don't like eat, breathe, whatever the fucking phrase is, comedy. I love it. I think I'm going to be doing it for the rest of my life, but I also have a lot of other things that I'm just as excited about, like the whole healing work and my son and trying to eventually find a soulmate who doesn't cheat on me. You know, so there are a lot of things that excite me, and it's not like my drive. I have a lot of drive, but it's not like I need fame or I'll never like be happy. That's just not. Yeah. It's
yeah,
just
I mean,
different for me.
Yeah. I don't think it necessarily look. I think some comics want to be in every club. That's like a goal of theirs. It's like, I got to be at every club. A lot of comedians, you know, as long as they're getting up consistently at a couple rooms where they're very comfortable at, they feel like they're welcome there and they feel like it's a safe space for them, you know, that can be just as sufficient as well. Like you're at our club a lot and you're at Stand Up New York. You know, I can name a bunch of comedians who are not passed at, you know, a number of clubs, but they're with us and they're with like one other place and that's all they need. And they're doing amazing. And eventually, you know, a club like the Cellar will come to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I'm kind of waiting until they care about me. Like right now, I mean, I think some people care about me, like who got kind of get the spiritual comedy and the way I talk about sex. But I'm just kind of just focusing on, as one of my friends would say, the sauce. I'm just focusing on me. And I don't know. I just feel like things will fall into place without me having to listen. I think it's good to push for things and go for things. And I'm definitely doing that in many areas of my life. But I'm not as like thirsty when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, Scott just doesn't take compliments very well. So when you said cool club, he automatically goes to, oh,
this is all
cool.
About your self-hate, this whole thing we just did.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know, man. You know, It's hard. Podcasts are difficult.
Why are they difficult?
Well, because it's enjoyable, right? Like, it's fun and you like hearing yourself talk. You know what I mean? But it's like, I feel bad about having fun on a podcast because it's so like narcissistic. You know what I mean? It's like everyone's doing podcasts and you listen, you know. Don't you hate? You love to do it. You love to listen to yourself.
Do you not like to listen to other podcasts though?
No, I do. I listen to podcasts.
That's what I'm saying. I listen to podcasts too, so I don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah, I know, but I just like,
do you
I don't
have
know.
A thing like who wants to listen to me? Is that what's going on?
No, but I don't know. It's like we're sitting in a room like talking, you know?
That's, yeah.
And recording it. It's like so.
I must have a lot more self-love though, because I'm kind of like, I think I have good opinions that people would care about, and I feel like you do too. So,
no, I mean, I guess
we all have a voice that
I'm always kind
heard.
Of in shock that people like podcasts have like followers or like people that listen to it. I'm like, why are people listening to this stuff?
Yeah, but you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's all very, I'm very conflicted.
So you're having a whole other crisis.
I'm very conflicted about podcasts in general.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, I enjoy doing them. I love it. Right. But then I'm like, oh, why do I love it? I love it because I'm fucking listening to myself talk.
Yeah, but you know, you hate you listening to yourself talk.
That's what I'm saying. It's all like, I love it and hate it. It's awful. But it's great at the same time.
I told you this would be amazing, wouldn't it?
I just had no idea that's what was going on.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well. Are you like, like when you have sex, do you feel good about it after? Or are you
I don't
like
have sex. No, I do. I mean,
he's married, by the way.
No, I mean, I'm married. I have two kids and they're young. So it's very difficult to have sex. You know what I'm saying? So we were trying to have sex every Tuesday. But, you know, we had sex for like two Tuesdays in a row.
Tuesdays with Scott.
And I know Heather's not going to listen to this because she doesn't like, you know.
She doesn't want
to
hear your voice.
She doesn't hear that. We don't talk about this kind of shit. You know what I mean? Or she doesn't listen to a podcast. The last thing she's like, ugh, you know. But anyway, so we were trying to have sex every Tuesday. We did it like twice. And that's it. That was it.
What do you mean twice? Twice this
it's
year?
It's hard, man. When you have two kids, and by the end of the day, you're exhausted. It's like, oh my God. Sex just doesn't, it's like, ugh.
But were you like, all right, it's Tuesday. Were you guys like, when you come home, like I'm genuinely,
it's Taco
talk about
Tuesday.
This. You mentioned this to me, but when you would come home, would you be like, hey, it's 8 p.m. It's time, like the kids are, let's go. Or
no, what
would
happens
you
kind of
like put it off and you get into bed? Like all right, I guess we gotta have sex.
I put to bed the older boy who's five. I put him to sleep. Older boy. Well, I don't want to say his name. Yeah, that feels weird too. I don't know. But anyway, I put him to bed and then she puts the baby to bed, and while she's putting the baby to bed, I set up for sex time.
Oh.
What do you do?
I mean? I set the mood, I put the candles on.
Did you take
a
shower? Did you hear our last conversation?
I brushed my teeth.
Okay.
I think that's, you know.
Nothing down under?
Do you have LED lights and everything?
No, I put candles on, and I put on Norah Jones.
Norah Jones?
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, okay, that's cool. Serious. Norah Jones.
That's the San Francisco influence when you moved to San Fran, right?
How long have you guys been together,
Norah
by
Jones.
The way?
It's either The Doors or Norah Jones.
Ooh, try Fleetwood Mac.
So, it used to be The Doors, sometimes Pink Floyd.
How often do you have sex, Emilio, with your wife?
Oh, wow.
One of my close
we're
friends.
We're going right in there. Gosh, we're talking about this, huh? We go on
is
spurts.
Is Uncle going to listen to this, you think?
Sure. We go on spurts. Whatever, we're open with this stuff. We go on spurts. Sometimes we'll go like on big spurts. You know, we'll go like 3-4 times in a week. Which I think is pretty good when you're married for 5 years together for 8. Sometimes it'll be like, you know, it will be a couple weeks where it goes by. It's really more of just like, you know, Ankar and I are very, we're usually pretty connected emotionally and mentally. And that comes first. And then the physical stuff comes after. She and I was much more, and she's super, I mean, Ankara, both Scott and I are really fortunate because Heather and Ankara are both very pretty, but I was,
I'm sorry.
Well, they are. They're pretty.
No, I know. It just sounded so funny for some reason.
But I was more attracted to her mentally, more than anything. I was more attracted to her personality. So
she's a bright light of a person. Like I met Ankara before I met you. She introduced me to you.
Well, Scott called it within like,
she's also super hot,
I mean,
but
I
like
think,
her personality like does.
The night I met her, Scott's like, you're going to marry her.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I actually, I said that before you even met her.
No, wasn't.
Yeah, because I met her at the strip, and then I don't remember what the deal was. I was like, "But this girl, this is like the perfect girl for you. You're gonna marry her."
Well, there it is. So that's what happened. So, so with us, it's when we're very connected mentally and emotionally. That's when we're around each other a lot. I mean, she's very busy, and I'm busy. So, but I would say, you know, we have a healthy a healthy sex life for sure. Yeah. So it depends. Like, you know, sometimes 3-4 times a week, sometimes once every few weeks. If you want to average it out, I'd probably say like, you know, 6 to 8 times a month, 6 times a month.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of sex. Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
I'm not but, having you know, sex at all.
Yeah, me neither. So I'm like, man, that sounds like a lot of work.
Are you in a relationship though?
No. Neither of us are.
Yeah, so whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares? It's overrated.
Sex?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, having a vagina is a whole other thing when you have sex, because Tina and I hope it's okay to share, we have very sensitive vaginas. And a lot of times after we have sex, we get like a UTI or whatever.
Like instantly.
And
I'm
it's like,
this wasn't worth it.
Stop having sex in hot tubs.
No. No.
Can you imagine that's the only way Tina and I will fuck? I'm like, oh, if you want this, we got to find a hot tub, baby. No, we don't need a hot tub. We're just, yeah. So, yeah, you're like all excited. You're waiting for it. And then you have it. And then like the next 2-3 days, your vagina's burning.
Burning.
You're like, fuck
let
this.
Let me ask a question. Is it true then, you know, how they always say like the sexual peak for a guy is when they're 18, 19. For a girl or a woman, it's like 33, 34, 35. Is that true? Is that accurate?
I've always been really horny. Like ever since I was like little, even I was like very revved up about it. I haven't felt much of a dip or a peak. Like there are moments, like I'll have within a year, there are some moments where I'm like more worked up, and then other moments where I go more into like a hermit. I forget I have a vagina for a couple days, but like I haven't myself noticed like years where I'm more than others.
Not even in college?
No, no.
I think it's
I've always just wanted to have sex if possible.
Right.
You've just always been a sex addict.
I wouldn't say sex addict though, because I don't do crazy things for it. Like right now I've gone months without it, and I'm not like, sometimes I'll get in a state where I'm like, oh, I wish I could have sex, but then I'm like, eh, it's not worth it. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to bring someone home that I don't really like. Mm-hmm. STDs are out there. Yeah. You know, so it's like, I think addicts need it so badly that they're willing to like destruct a part of their life mm-hmm. to have it. And I just like, I can roll the tape forward or whatever you say.
Willingly destruct.
Well, you're
their
a recovered
life.
Alcoholic, or is it more than that?
Yes, I am.
But I'm saying, is it just alcohol, or were there other things you were doing?
I was doing some fun stuff. Well, it wasn't fun actually, but it was for a little bit. But anyway, yes.
I'm gonna invade your privacy right now. Hey, podcast name. So, what other drugs were you doing?
Ecstasy, Vicodin, cocaine.
At the same time, or?
No, not really at the same time. Just sort of whatever. Like I came across, you know.
And drinking at the same time?
And always drinking, and always pot. Tons and tons of weed.
And now you're totally sober.
Yes.
How was that?
It's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah.
What changes when you get that, when you go from like doing a lot of different stuff at different times to a more sober lifestyle? At first it must feel like, because I consider myself a love addict. I was using unavailable men to like get that spike of adrenaline, like, if I'd be driving over to a dude's house I know I'm not supposed to go to, as bad as I'd feel, I'd also feel alive. And when you kind of stop, you almost feel a bit of like boredom. Like it kind of like the world opens up in a good and a bad way where you're kind of like, oh, well, this kind of stinks. Did you experience that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it sucks at first because people, you know, it's not like you just stop doing drugs and drinking and everything is fantastic. The problem is when you stop doing that stuff, then you're left with yourself, who's clearly has issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so now it's actually harder because you have nothing to fucking
distract yourself from you.
There's nothing to take to make that shit go away. So you actually have to deal with that. And I think so, you know, in the first year of sobriety, that's kind of like the big thing. It's like dealing with those issues, you know? And then once you kind of get through that slowly, it starts to get better, you know? And so now, really, it's just getting better and better, and more things are happening for me. And, you know, I'm free now from that, and it's fantastic. So, and a lot of great things have happened, you know, since. And Emilio's been there through the entire process, and he's seen the difference, you know. We would never own the comedy club if I was still out there.
It's been pretty impressive since, I mean, it's amazing, actually. I forget sometimes that he is gone through all that stuff. Because he's so on top of of everything that we're doing, you know, it really is unbelievable. Like I genuinely will forget that he's, you know, and sometimes when Scott and I have rough days, if I go home, you know, I try not to vent too much to Ankara, and, you know, because I think Scott and I have gotten into trouble in the past with venting too much to our significant others, but
because then they get too invested,
they get too involved, they have their own opinion, and not that, you know, then they, it just, it, it, Scott and I work much better when it's just he and I, you know, just ironing out our stuff together.
It's a whole other relationship when you work with,
of course, but if he and I have issues, not issues, but we haven't really, I mean, since we've owned the club, things have been really, I mean, we've been pretty much on the same page, but, you know, whatever, if I remember home one day and I'm like, oh, you know, whatever, Ankara has to remind me, like, well, you know, Scott's been going through a lot, or he's been through a lot, or whatever. I forget. I just, because the way he's so on top of stuff, it's like not even. He's been great.
He forgets that I'm damaged goods.
No, I just, it's just you've handled this stuff. You've handled your sobriety. I mean, you're at the club at night. I mean, there's, you know, owning a, I mean, you're just around young. I mean, it's amazing. It really is amazing. We went to Montreal. We've been to Toronto. We've been to all these places together where there's clearly people drinking and smoking and doing whatever, and he's there, and it's like, you know, like, it's strange because sometimes I think to myself, I'm like, wow, like, you know, it's almost like he makes it look, you make it look, I know it's not easy, he makes it look easy. It's very impressive.
Go, Scott.
I'm complimenting you, Scott.
It's not easy. I mean,
no, it's not. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying I want to make that clear, but it's, whatever. It is, it's impressive.
I mean, I guess it is easy. I don't know what the fuck it is, you know, it just is what it is. But
yeah, sometimes you're just in a situation where it's not necessarily easy, but there's no other choice. Like I was saying on the last one, right now there's an issue up that kind of sucks, but I have no choice. You know, like, it's just what life gives you, and you can either feel sorry about it and wallow, or you can just accept it and be like, okay, so how am I going to make the best of this? Mm. And that's where you're just like, okay, like, I'm going to just deal with this and try to deal with it in a way where I'm not self-destructing, you know, because I think all of us in this room have probably dealt with it in those ways in the past. And we're like, yeah, that was fun then for not even a second. But like, I'm going to grow and actually handle this with grace and compassion for myself.
It's important.
It's hard, though, to really think about, like, how do I want to handle the situation in a way that's different, but healthy?
Well, I think it's super rewarding, though, you know, to do things kind of responsibly, you know what I'm saying? Like, if at first it's like, you feel like you're missing out on stuff, you know what I mean? And, but
especially when you see other people that are still doing it the old way, and it looks like on Facebook or Instagram that their life is so much more fun.
It's fun, but it's not fun.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good and any of that stuff.
I have to remind myself of that, though. Like, when I see someone posting something, and that moment where you, it comes up and you're like, oh man, like, and then you're like, wait, I could have that life if I wanted to. I decided to get away from that because it felt bad for me, and I have to, like, keep taking it back, like, focus on my life, because when you compare to other people, you're automatically fucked. And I just keep trying to come back and just live the life that I want to live. And we all have such unique lives. Like, I have a son.
Yeah.
I'm doing comedy half the time. I read tarot cards. Like, how can I compare to someone who just doesn't have my life and hasn't had to make the choices?
At some point, it just becomes wasteful time. That's all. Like, I'll still, you know, again, I don't have kids, and you know, I still live a pretty social lifestyle. You know, again, 98% of the time, though, it's Ankara and I. We do stuff together. It's very rare that we don't do stuff together. But in those instances, if I do go out with, like, a couple friends and we have, like, an old school night where we're out late, I mean, by like 1 a.m., not even, like, I'm just like midnight. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? This is not fun. You know, it's fun to be with these guys. It's fun to, like, be hanging. But, like, I just know, you know, where the night wants to go, where they want to go, where the night can go. And it's just not even fun. I'm like, I'd rather just either be at the club, you know, around people, just be at the comedy club. If I'm going to be somewhere, I'd rather just be there or be home.
Yeah.
Or be out with Ankara somewhere.
That's what happens when you get older. It's probably a mixture of, like, your body literally can't take as much anymore. It's a mixture of that, but also just having been there and remembering what it feels like to go to bed at 3 or 4 in the morning and then have to wake up to go to a job. You're like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. Cause then you're operating at like 20%. You're cranky. You get sick a lot more. And I think you hit a point where you're just like, enough's enough. I want to feel good during the day. Especially for me being a parent, he's on my mind where I'm like, okay, I could stay up an extra 2 hours, but then tomorrow I'm going to be cranky and he's going to be like asking me for something and I might come back with a shorter response and he doesn't deserve that. Let me get a good night's sleep so I can be like the coolest I can possibly be.
Let me ask you, on the nights, on the days, actually, you don't, let's say you don't have Shane one day. It's, let's say you don't have him on a Saturday, right? Are you, in your mind, are you like, oh, I can hang out later tonight if I want? Or do you take it, like, do you look at it like, oh, I got a, out, you know, a free pass to not have to be a parent tomorrow? Does that ever?
Not really. I mean, if I have Shane, it's more like, oh, I can't stay up late that night. But I'm not someone who likes to necessarily stay out late anyway. So it's more of, if I don't have him, I could if I wanted to. But most of the time, even at like comedy clubs, I try to be home by midnight, the latest, if I can, because then I still need a couple hours to wind down and go on Facebook or do whatever you're going to do and get your brain to calm down. So, you know, it's interesting. I want to bring up the weekend that we did.
Yeah, totally.
So I opened, I was the opener for Mohegan Sun in the Poconos a couple weeks ago, and Tina was my date, and we had a hotel room for 2 days.
What do you mean she was your date? She just came along.
She just came with me.
Are you a comic?
No. I'm an interior designer. I'm a designer.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
And an amazing artist. We both met. We were art teachers in Westfield.
You were an art teacher?
Yeah.
We were both art teachers.
You didn't know that?
At the same school. That's how we know.
That's how we met.
Are you still an art teacher? Wait, no. Now you're doing interior design.
Yeah.
We both kind of quit around the same time.
Yeah.
Interesting.
She was just working for a company for how long?
Probably about a year, a little over a year and a half.
Yeah. But now she's doing freelance.
But I owned my own business for 5 years before that.
Oh.
She's amazing. She's like brilliant.
Thanks.
She's one of those like weirdo artistic minds where you're just like, hey, can you design something? Like, can you draw this for me real quick? And she'll be like, duh, 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 and you're just like, holy fuck.
I work hard is what she means to say.
She's also naturally gifted. But no, I took Tina with me. And what's interesting, there was a couple things that happened. One was, it was so interesting because we're such close friends. We've been best friends for about 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't get to see each other that much. And when we do, we'll like meet halfway for like a lunch or something, right? So that's like a 2-3 hour hang. Although we talk and text a lot. But
every day, yeah.
It was interesting to like be together for 2 straight days because we both got to see, I mean, maybe you already knew this going in, but I got to see how different our lifestyles are, even though we're such close friends. And I had to look at parts of myself that were really uncomfortable because I didn't realize how bossy I am.
I have like a ton of party girl in me for sure, forever. Oh. Even if I don't like act on it, like I am a party girl. I've drank, drugged, hung out, been in sororities. Like that was my life for a lot of years. And that is so different than Kate's life, even though we're really good friends. And so I think that it was just tough for us to be in the same room, and she wants to be in bed at a certain time and I want to like be on the casino. I want to be freaking the fuck out if I'm hanging out somewhere for free for a weekend. And so that was like an interesting point of contention.
Should have brought Shane. He would have partied all night.
Totally. Shane would have partied.
He would have. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was just interesting because
so Tina's on like, she's at, on the casino floor till like 4 a.m. hanging out. Like,
no, but she could.
Shane's fetching me drinks
in his Deadpool outfit.
Yeah, yeah. You're double down in on 11.
But I got to see, you know, because in my mind, until we had a talk on the car ride home where it took me like 25 minutes to understand even what she was saying. Like, I was so set in my brain. Like, I was like, yeah, but you don't understand. Because I stayed up till 3 a.m. both nights. So in my head, I was like, yeah, but I was already stretching my way of living to match yours. And she was like, yeah, totally. I see that. But can you see all the other ways that I conceded to your lifestyle? Like, we pulled up and I didn't want to valet my car because I get neurotic about valets having my keys and stealing like the drum I have in my.
And I was like, they're not stealing your
shit.
No
one wants your fucking drum.
They don't
drum.
Fucking care about your car.
They're going to do a tribal dance with my drum.
And I'm in like 5-inch heels walking like 3 football
with
fields
her heavy,
to the casino.
Yeah, she's such and a girl. Like, she like has this heavy bag of
I've
outfits.
Got too heavy. I had bruises on both of my arms from walking from the car to the casino. I'm like, so it was like, valet for free? Are you fucking serious?
So she was already annoyed at me there. And then like I had 2 tickets for a free buffet and she was like, we'll do a dinner tomorrow. I'm like, well, I need to do
no,
lunch.
No, you said we'll do a dinner tomorrow. And I was like, all right, cool, whatever. And then we woke up. I hadn't even got the sleep out of my eyes.
It's
and
very she was, economical. Yeah. She can stretch that dollar.
I didn't got the sleep out of my eyes. And she's like, we're doing lunch.
I thought about it. And I was like, if I eat buffet before I go on stage, I'm going to feel you're like, when you try to perform on a full fucking buffet stomach,
that.
You're like you're telling a joke. And then like that burp comes up and you're like, oh God. So I was like, oh, we're going to do lunch. And she was like, okay. So she was just pointing out the ways that she had conceded to me without making a big deal about it and how I didn't even see it. And I couldn't see it until like 25 minutes in the conversation. I was like, oh, sorry, man. Like, I didn't see that. So it was just interesting, like, to have one of your closest friends that in so many ways you're a kindred spirit to, but also just be so different at the same time. And how, even though I consider myself a very aware person, how I couldn't see how much she was conceding to me until.
But it was cool. We like handled it like adults for sure.
Well, that's the cool thing about me and Tina is like we're both. We let things go. Like we talk it out and then we're like, oh, yeah, cool. We're very independent.
Yeah.
We just kind of fucking get it.
That's why I'm not going to get kicked off the island. Case Island.
Yeah, that's why you're in for the long haul.
Yeah.
What island?
Oh, no.
Emilio, you can say it now.
What?
You really? Brought it up. Yeah, but be careful.
No name dropping, right?
No. Yeah, no name dropping.
Of course not. You know, Kate has a way of pulling people in. Because she's just, you know, she's got a lot of passion and she gets very exciting and she has, you know, it's just a lot of exuberance when it comes to new people. And
we just get to the fucking point. Am I allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, of course you are. So, you know, Kate has a way of pulling people in. And then what happens is after a while, she feels that her space is invaded. There's an invasion of privacy, if you will. And so she then all of a sudden becomes, she then all of a sudden becomes very isolated. And then next thing you know, that person that she was really close with, it's almost like
I can't breathe.
It's like she can't breathe. So it's almost like she's like, hey, I need space. It's almost like she breaks up with this other person, but the other person's already so in love with Kate. It's like Kate draws someone in and then then she needs space and she pushes them, not pushes them away, but she puts
just say
up
it. Just say it, Amelia.
What happened? I don't understand what's happening.
Just kicks them off the island.
So what you do is you get close to people and then you're like,
this is too much for me.
She gets
becoming more conscious of it. Here's
the
thing.
She wolfs them. I call it she wolfs them. And I always see it coming. Whenever she gets very close to somebody, I'm like, this poor thing. She doesn't understand what's going to happen. And Kate isn't even aware of it. That's the thing.
I think
Kate
doesn't
get what she's doing. Well, no, I became aware.
Now she's aware of it.
This is why I became aware, because I called Amelia once and was like, yeah, this happened. And he's like, oh, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. Me and Kara were talking about it. And I'm like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, it's what you do. And I was like, I do? Yeah. And now I'm aware.
It's happened a number of times. I have to go slowly.
I've done this with dudes too, where I jump in. I get so excited. I'm like, yeah, someone that I get along with. And then I jump in without, you know, feeling it out. It's like a very addict-y way of being. You're just impulsive and you jump in because you want that rush of feeling and excitement. And then all of a sudden you're in the water and you're like, wait, where am I? So now, ever since he said that and doing all the healing work I'm doing, I'm like, I need to pace myself. Like, I need to have better boundaries. I need to feel into whether this person, you know, I think Ankara said it. She's like, yeah, you need to have friends. Some friends are allowed in your house. Some friends are on your porch and some are on the street and they can like rotate. And I was like, I'm just starting to feel out more how that works. But even like Tina's one of my bestest friends.
I can tell right now, Tina will never get wolfed. I can tell.
Never. She's a sister to me. Like, it's like. Like, Tina and I could honestly go a month or two without talking, and there's no attitude, though. There's no, like, where have you been?
Well, that's the thing I don't get about girls, and I've never understood that. And I do have good girlfriends, but, like, they get jealous of you talking to other girls.
Yeah, we don't play that.
I don't give a fuck. Talk to whoever you want. It's
Tina
weird.
And I are also very, like, I don't know how to say it. We're brutal, but I think in a good way. Like, one time Tina and I were in a car just hanging out, talking. Like,
we put it like, we were just, two girls, like, just sitting in the car.
We were sitting, but then this, like, dude started walking by, not to, like, do anything to us, but he was just walking by, but, like, we didn't see him coming. And as soon as we felt a presence, her and I both, like, lunged towards the window, like, we were about to take off a dude's arm if he was going to attack us.
Like, we were both ready. And we couldn't stop laughing afterwards.
Yeah, because we were both like, oh.
And then we saw an arm, and both of us were like, bruh.
We were, like, literally ready.
To kill this man.
And we could both feel, like, the assassin that lives within both of us. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's why we're best friends. We'll kill a motherfucker.
Yeah.
No, I mean, listen, I think guys get that way too, though. Guys have their man crushes on each other.
Do they get jealous? Do you guys get jealous?
Not jealous, but like, they're, you know, you get attached to, like, you know, it's like, you know, you get.
Emilio,
like,
definitely has his man crushes, for sure.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he totally.
He has his man.
Oh, totally.
Scott's meant to write you
out. Listen, it's a normal thing, you know, like, you know, guys do that
too.
No,
everyone.
But it's not like, I don't think guys are like jealous. They're like, oh, that person. You know what I mean? I think it's totally different. But again, back to you, Kate. You know, I just think, you know, We've talked about this. You just listen, when you're a big personality and you get people want to be around you.
Thank you, Emilio.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice. I think you have that quality.
It's nice. No. Mm-hmm.
And people kind of get sucked into it. But I think though in your heart of hearts, you are kind of a loner. You know what I mean? Like you don't live in the city. You live in Jersey, right? You're not the kind of person or comedian who's going to hang out at a club for 3 or 4 hours. You know, you hang out where you're comfortable.
And then I bounce really quickly. That's Tina and I too. Like, we'll be at a party and all of a sudden they'll be like, where the fuck did Kate or Tina go? Like,
bounce.
It was like all of a sudden I'm uncomfortable. I feel like Scott has that thing too, where you're like, I don't want to be here. Boom. Like, you just leave.
Yeah, I traditionally don't want to be anywhere.
Me too. I literally don't even want to be myself. Like, I don't want to be anywhere. So, like, I'm just like,
which is an issue, actually, because like, why don't you want to be anywhere, right? Like, you should be able to be. I mean, that's not true. There's certain places, like, I like being in the studio.
Yeah, because you're by yourself.
No, I'm not by myself now. You know, I mean, you know.
Well, this is a very tight. For the most part, I like small gatherings. Mm-hmm. I like the intimacy of it. When it comes to a bigger party where some kind of small talk's involved, get it out of here. I'd rather be fucking dancing and twerking in the middle of the dance floor for sure. But it's funny because I'm finally embracing the fact that I'm a loner. And it's funny, it kind of goes with my name that I finally claimed, Kate Fanchon Wolf, because Fanchon's independent woman in French. And, you know, having such codependency issues and wanting that
what's
prince.
Independent woman in French?
My middle name, Fanchon. Fanchon.
Is that your actual middle name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's rough, I know.
Scott speaks French, by the way.
It's not that bad.
Well, I hated it when I was a little girl. I was like, Mom, why the fuck would you give me that middle name? Like, I used to tell people the F stood for flower. I was Kate Flower Wolf when I was really little.
Like, that's better.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when you're like six, you're like, it's flower. Flower princess. But I finally claimed it because I'm like, holy shit, I was given a pretty dope name that kind of, like, Kate means pure. And I'm not saying I'm like pure, but I actually do have a really good heart. I'm independent, which I'm finally claiming, and I'm a fucking wolf because I'll tear your throat out and sing it to the moon. But
you're a pure independent wolf.
Exactly.
There you go.
But I'm finally claiming the independent part, and I'm realizing how much of a loner I am, and it kind of shocks me. I'm like, yeah, I don't want... Even with the whole comedy thing, like, I don't want to come up as a duo with anyone. I really am claiming that. Like, I want to be... That's why I got into stand-up comedy. You go up on stage alone. I'd rather do that than... I still like collaborating with other people, don't get me wrong. I love that. But for the most part, I want to be known as Kate Wolf and have a lot of independent projects and then have things on the side. But I was always, I think, so scared of being alone with myself that... I was clinging to other people, and now I'm starting to see what you're saying, Emilio, that I would draw people in and then push them away. And I think the more I can claim my independence, the more I can monitor. Because I don't want to hurt anyone.
Yeah, you weren't doing, I don't think you do it to be mean-spirited or any, you're naturally,
I just
you
would get excited.
Yeah, you get excited and, you know, and.
Like you call it, being in relation with them.
Yeah.
Instead of just like sucking them in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meet them where they're at and I'm more conscious of me. It's hard looking at shitty places of yourself. Like, you know.
But listen. Not
well, the people that you throw out onto the curb.
I don't throw them out like
they,
that.
Are they, have they done something to hurt you? Or have they, is every person that you've thrown away hurt you in some way? I mean, is it legitimate? Like, okay, those
sometimes
people are
yes,
douchebags.
Sometimes no. I'm actually a very picky, sensitive person. I'm very sensitive. I'm one of the most sensitive people. Like, I can't help it. And I used to kind of beat myself up for it. And now that's also something I'm claiming. I'm just very sensitive. And it's hard for me to hang out with people who are rougher. But look, Nathan's very sensitive, but he can be rough. So I can't hang out with him all the time or we'll get into fights. So I've just learned how to monitor this stuff. You know, and pace it. But like back in the day, if I would meet Nathan, I'd be like, let's hang out every day. And then boom, it's going to explode. Whereas now I'm learning how to like have the appropriate doses of a person and not blame them and just be like, well, this is me and that's them. There's no right or wrong. It's like the whole thing with Tina when she came with me on the trip. At first, I was being judgmental, right? Where I was like, well, my way of life is better because I go to bed earlier. And then I was like, no, that's shitty. That's just my way of being. Everyone has a choice. Mm-hmm. There's no better than. It's a choice. And she's allowed to have her way. I'm allowed to have mine. And like I was saying, like the next time if we go on a trip together, we probably need separate hotel rooms. That's it. Because we both like to stay up. I mean, we had the most fun ever. Right?
Yeah, we did.
We watched Sex and the City together, which I know doesn't sound like that fun, but it was like, we were just making so many jokes.
Talking so much shit. Like, just two girls on a bed watching Sex and the City.
It was pretty fucking... Yeah. It was a good night. I'm not going into all the details.
Don't.
I like that show.
And then when I... No one fingered each other.
No. Neither of us like... Well, no, you like vaginas. I don't.
I like... I haven't been in one, but I really am a lover of the sacred yoni. Yes. I made that sound really gross.
How much time is left on this podcast? No, I'm serious.
I'll check. Why?
Because I want to make sure we get to important stuff.
What? This was all important, you dick. It's we've been doing this for about 36 minutes.
Oh, good. So we got a little bit time to talk about.
Is there something
real
you want to get into? Is there something you would like to discuss, Scott, or do you want me to like read an email or?
I don't know. Let's get into
this
something.
This is all
real. You know
we were
mean?
Just having deep talks.
It's true.
You're talking about Sex and the City in a hotel
for
room
a second.
You know,
boys.
Let's do it. You know,
I
what
feel
I'm saying?
Like Scott just gave me the emotional light.
Yeah, he did.
What
he
does
did
that mean? What's he the did emotional
like when
light?
You know when someone's on stage and you get lit to get yeah off? You just like emotionally lit me. You're like, yeah, let's get to the good shit.
Scott and I did a podcast years ago and he would do this after like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. But can we please talk about something real? And then he'd look at the guests and just
well,
give
you,
them a shocking question.
What's like, real to you? Scott, why don't you pick something yeah that's really real us to you?
I don't know.
You've had
you
a
know
flavorful
like
life.
Is there something that somebody wants? Okay, let's think about this. Who are the people that listen to your podcast? What like who is your average listener? Because you actually have people who listen to this thing.
Of course.
What do they do?
I don't know.
Who's somebody like, you know, who's was an example of someone that like
probably
emailed
right
you
now a 22-year-old who's in college getting their degree in communications.
Ooh.
But very open-minded.
What's cool?
Really?
So you get
I'm not that good.
University of Maryland. Go.
And why do they listen to the podcast?
The Terps.
Well, they found me through Joe Santagato, the famous YouTube star. And then they found the dragon sorceress, that is Kate Wolf, talking some weird shit that they kind of were into, kind of hated, which made it even better. And yeah.
There you go. There's something real. I don't know if it's okay to talk about on the podcast, but the Joe thing, right? So you still have as many listeners as you did before?
I think I lost a couple thousand when he left.
So
which
now the people that are following
me
you were all the fans of you specifically.
I think so, or they're fans of both, but they because Joe and I are very different people. But I always really respected him because here you have a dude who started going to college, had a complete panic attack in the car, like I don't want to do this anymore. You know, quit, was kind of depressed over it because he's like, well, what the fuck am I doing? What am I just gonna do YouTube videos? Like, and everyone kind of thought he was nuts at first, and then he actually created it and blew the fuck up, and he's a really great businessman. He's got a lot more logic and structure than I have, which I can really respect. Honestly, I don't know your brain as well as I know Emilio's, but you have that where you're very good at like building things, and you know, like sometimes they'll try to give me advice and you're like, well, you need to have a website, you need to have this, like I don't have that. I'm like the artist where I'm like, I just want to create and have it come to me. So I really respected Joe's ability to like ground those ideas. And he's so successful, but we just weren't, it was time to go in different directions for sure.
But this was very different.
Is this like off limits discussion?
No. That's no totally.
Yeah. It wasn't anything like what we just discussed. So about the whole getting excited about it. This was totally different, right?
No, Joe is also very independent, extremely. So he definitely liked my personality, but he was never like,
he wasn't on board with a lot of your stuff.
Yeah. He definitely, like I tried to, there were some times where I would like text him and be like, you just need to open up. Like there's a whole other world out there. He'd be like, nah, I'm good. He's like, I'm kind of killing this life. And I'm like, you know, you've got a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you think you're killing it, it means you're probably not, though. That's. But it's true. No, but it's true.
Sniggity snappities.
No, I'm not dissing Joe at all. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
That means great that we are definitely not killing it, according to you.
What do you mean? That's not true. Scott thinks that I have like this idea that we're I am you say it all the time.
We've
I'm
had
the
a
most,
long history.
I'm the most you always say how anxious I am. I'm anxiety ridden. I'm neurotic. You don't have anxiety or you're not neurotic if you constantly think you're killing it. Trust me, I just like you, I think the world can end any second.
No, I know. We've been through enough that we know.
That was like a weird turn.
No, I'm just saying he claims that he's not anxious, but he has a tweak or a, what is it called? A twitch.
He's fidgety.
He's like, I'm not
very fidgety.
Like,
he's ready to go, but yeah. I don't think that's one of my cousins is like that, and her uncle's like that. They're all like that. They just like got to do something. They got to go somewhere. Yeah. Got to be some.
Emilio's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, it's great.
He needs to text.
That's why I need to text.
Oh yeah, like are you like nervous, fidgety, like always on your
headphones? I'm not nervous. Maybe I am. I just can't sit still.
Right.
You know.
I'm not nervous, actually.
I have ADD. I never did a test for it or anything. I mean, I was a good student. So
what happens
like
when you
study.
Sit still? What do you feel?
Boredom.
You know?
I'll never forget
what's
this.
The feel? Well, like you have a feeling in your body when you're like just sitting still.
I feel contained.
All of a sudden, that feeling comes up.
Trapped.
Where you're like,
feel trapped.
Feeling trapped is one of the worst feelings ever.
I feel trapped. This is pretty funny.
When
I was 23 years old,
the wolf comes out.
A very good friend of mine, this is kind of what led me to leave, you know, what I was doing before and get into comedy. A very good friend of mine was getting into acting, right? And he was like, and he's actually a successful actor now. And he was like, look, I'd love for you to, do this acting class with me because I've never done this before and we're friends from college. He was my old college roommate. He's like, it'd be cool for us to do this together. We've always said we want to do it. So I was like, sure, I'll do it. So we had to do this exercise where you had to sit in silence with a scene partner and whatever comes to mind, right? So I sit in silence, you know, I'm with a girl. She goes and it's just quiet for like 5 minutes. We each had to do like, it was like 3 or 5 minutes, 5 minutes, right? So just quiet. And she was just chill. We're just kind of looking at each other. And whatever comes to mind, you just kind of say. And then it was my turn. And within 10 seconds, I'm like, what, we're just sitting here? Like I can't just sit here. I got to say something. Like, I was like, let's talk about something. I was like forcing it. Now, granted, I was 23. But my buddy afterwards was like, dude, that was so you. You just can't sit still in silence. You got to like say something.
Fill the void.
I don't think it's bad. I don't perceive that as a bad thing.
Well, I mean,
I don't know
whether it's good or bad, but I think it's something that should be looked at. No, it's true. It is. What is making you feel trapped? What is that feeling? That's not like that's something is going on there. And all the time I've known you, which is what now? 15 years or something? I don't know.
You always add
years.
Like a year or two.
I always add three.
We do that here. It's 12 years.
But anyway, we did a meditation once.
We did a couple times.
A 10-minute like guided meditation in the old studio, and you enjoyed
awful.
It. No,
oh,
you
no,
enjoyed
it. Was
it.
Nice,
don't
it
you remember?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's great.
No, it was nice.
More
it was
often.
Nice. It was nice.
You could use meditation.
I told you about that.
Yeah. That was the only time I've ever gotten him to be silent for more than you know.
Because when I wake up, it's like I wake up and I go, and then when I go home, like when I go home night, I will crash. I'll just chill. I'll be in a chill state. I've learned to like not look at emails on the weekends. I legitimately don't even look at emails on the weekends. I still look at my phone and stuff, but weekends I have had to work on it for sure. But I just have this sense of if I'm not doing something, I'm not being productive and I need to be doing something. And you know, I look at how my brother is and my mom and they're very similar. Now I don't want to just say they're like that, so I should be like that. But like my dad is a very chill guy, you know? So I have elements of like chill for sure. But there's just certain, I just need to be doing stuff. But like we're sitting in a small room or talking, I can sit here, but clearly I feel like the energy I'm giving off is one of I want to like run through the door.
I don't feel like that.
Yeah, I don't feel like that.
Mm-mm. No, that's not how it came up.
Well, I don't want to run through the door.
I don't remember how it came up. But,
I just have, I don't know what it is. I don't like being trapped. I don't like having like limitations. I don't like feeling like I'm limited. What? I don't.
No, I thought of a story.
That's why I quit my corporate, whatever you want to call that.
I mean, you might have, we all did that.
With Scott.
Yeah, none of us were about that life.
None of us, yeah.
Yeah.
I might have told this story already on the podcast, but one time I was in college and I was drinking a little bit and I was at a frat party, which clearly doesn't match me, but I was talking to a dude and I forget if he was hitting on me or whatever, but all of a sudden in my brain, I was like, I don't want to be here. I am trapped. And I literally just said to the guy, I'll be right back. And I just went out the door. Now, my dorm was 2 miles away. And I just started running, like Forrest Gump running. And like, of course, I was crying at the same time. I don't know why. Well, bad childhood. So I'm just like running and crying. And I remember passing a security guard being like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I just didn't even answer him. I just like ran. Mm. But when I feel trapped, I need to get the fuck out of there. I haven't run like that in a long time from a situation. But I guess I've emotionally run. But you know what I mean? Physically. But when I'm trapped, whew.
Car and I have an inside joke. Whenever I feel trapped or I say I'm in the school bus, because I used to hate the school bus.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in the school bus, I just felt like, oh my God, like I have, you know, they're taking, like, I just felt like I was going to a place where I was going to have to stay there for 6-7 hours. I don't want to do it like this. Like, I just don't like being trapped. That's all. But yeah, I have no issues, but I have no issues with going to like work and stuff. Like, if anything, I'm the one who's always like trying to be like with Scott, we should do this at this time and meet and blah, blah, blah. I'm always like annoying him with meetings and stuff.
He always wants to waste my time.
I like wasting his time. It's my favorite thing to do. I hate meetings. It's a pastime of mine to waste.
I cannot stand meetings.
Yeah.
Well, you're such a networker, Emilio. He really does. You love to socialize.
That's his role.
Yeah, but it's good and it's gotten.
Oh, it's great.
You both so far and
it's,
like.
It's great.
I mean, I really mean it with New York Comedy Club. The energy there.
Don't go there.
Stop it. The energy there is so amazing. And I think part of it is how friendly he is. Like, he's just there at the club, talking to everyone, getting to know everyone and their things. And you love the gossip. And like, I think.
And Scott's usually in the green room hiding. In the
corner. But I like that too because I feel like
that's not true.
I feel like both of you are aspects of it. Yeah.
Seriously, I'm in the basement sorting the beer and shit. You know.
All right. Well, first of all, we do have some
funny,
more time.
Talk about man crushes.
Who is it?
Yes. I told him to come by.
It's You're one kidding, of Emilio's right?
Yeah,
man crushes.
Yeah, check out the studio.
Okay. So
maybe you can text him because I didn't bring my
excuse
phone.
Excuse me. We're podcasting,
I bring my
people.
Phone, so I wouldn't.
It's not my problem. He's not my man
He's
crush.
He's probably trying to get in.
Are you being fucking serious? You actually invited him here?
Why not?
Right now, Emilio?
Why not?
What's wrong with this guy? This is where I'm sorry. Whatever. Let's move on.
I love we're now. Having like a family fight right now. Right now, Emilio, of all times?
Anyway.
Okay.
You said you had a hard childhood.
I did.
What
I
happened?
Heard you had one too.
I mean, it's all right. I mean, it was terrible. But it wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't terrible. What am I talking about? I didn't fucking. I mean, my childhood was not normal, but that doesn't mean it was necessarily
Why?
Bad.
What happened?
Well, okay. I mean, really? I was talking about your bad childhood.
Well, I'm talking about yours. Okay. They've heard about mine.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
We want to know. We want to know. Yeah. We're listening.
Let's hear some of the highlights.
Okay. So I was born in London. I lived there for 2 years.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. I lived there for 2 years. Moved, to,
That's bloody fascinating.
No.
Moved to a house in France. Moved to a house in France.
Whoa.
And that house burnt down. And I was in the fire. And I don't know if you've ever seen me without my pants on, but my legs have third-degree burns all over
them. Are you serious?
No, I'm just joking.
What the fuck,
but
Scott?
I did live in France.
I was like, show us your legs.
No. Now you're looking at my legs.
We both looked, yeah.
But no.
Can you imagine he has holes in his jeans just highlighting the burns?
Are real holes, by the way. I heard on the last podcast.
Oh yeah,
about,
yeah, no,
like,
no.
Fake
no
man.
Nathan clearly had the
holes.
Purposeful.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yeah. You've got
Which
the real. You got those from sucking real dicks. We
that's
get
what
it.
I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I lived in France. The house did burn down. Nothing happened though. Then we moved to Switzerland. My father was a diplomat, so he worked closely with the UN in Geneva. So I lived in Switzerland until I was like 9. Then my parents got a divorce, and I left Switzerland and was living half the year in Washington, D.C. with my mother and half the year with my father in Switzerland.
Wow.
But half the year when I was with my father in Switzerland, I didn't really go to school. He took me most of the time out of school and we just traveled. I would travel with him. So we went to all over the fucking place.
That sounds pretty
Africa,
awesome
yeah.
so far. Just
all this
so
kind
know.
Of shit. Brazil, all you know, like just traveling the world. But I was young, you know, and mm-hmm. really I needed to be in school. But anyway, and that's why I don't know fractions. I don't know fractions at all. I'm terrible at math.
And look at here you are, super successful.
Well, it's the, you know, whatever. So that's debatable. You know, what does that really mean? That's a whole nother thing, success, yeah. you know. But anyway, whatever. What else do you want to know? Oh, and then my dad died of AIDS.
Are you lying?
I'm dead serious.
Don't fuck with us.
No, he did. Okay.
I laugh because I'll never forget. This is one of the
and
first
Emilio
things
laughs.
He's ever. Well, because it's one of the first things he ever said to me. He's like, because you know when he actually hired me when we were doing promotion strip. He goes, so here's the coffee, here are the tickets. Oh, my dad died of AIDS. I'm like, I mean, he would just bring it up casually, and you're like,
how did
That's
your dad?
Not true.
How did your dad get AIDS?
Sucking cocks.
For real.
Yeah.
He was gay.
Yes.
Or bi.
Yes, he was gay. So, but he wanted to have children. So he, and my mother knew this going into the relationship.
That he liked that men.
She knew that he had been with men before.
So he was really bi.
No, not really. He was faking gay. He could have some kids.
You know, he never told us that he was gay, but when he told us that he was HIV positive, you know, we said that was like a whole shock in itself.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, why? And he was like, you know, I've had bisexual encounters or whatever. So he was having affairs with men on, well, while he was traveling. And you know, this was like 80s. So, I mean, I don't know for sure. Like, he never told me specifically the stories, but I can only imagine that it was like, you know, he was doing some crazy shit in the 80s, you know, and he got HIV. So, and then he died slowly of AIDS.
That's crazy.
And then crazy. Scott smiles.
No, I mean, you know, I joke about it just because that's how I deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
But I,
yeah, well, welcome to comedy.
Yeah.
We're all just masking
our pain.
But you
were super young though, right?
I was young. I mean, well, not super young. I took care. Well, when I found out, I was like 14, 15. And then, you know, when I turned like 18, 19, I was taking care of him for.
Yeah, it's young.
Yeah. No, it was me and my father and we were in Switzerland and I was taking care of him as he slowly passed away, slowly died.
Slowly. I know, right? He says it like you don't. It's
yeah,
like
but then he smiles
around.
Too. Yeah, because he knows.
But this is true.
Yeah, because it's just
hard.
It's dark.
Yeah, it's dark. I mean, it's just shock factor, you know? It's yeah. Like, oh, yeah. My dad slowly died of AIDS.
Yeah, if we all just sat here and said our shit, everybody would make that face. We'd all be like, fuck.
Scott has a
very. You say it and then you do a smile like, yeah, that's fucking real.
Yeah, that's mine.
I had a very good relationship with him, though. I had a great relationship with him, and I was lucky because I was able to be there for him in his final days. You know what I'm saying? So.
That's awesome.
Whatever. I mean, this is just life. Everybody deals with this shit. I just dealt with it a little younger than most people. I mean, look at Syria, for fuck's sake. These kids are dying every day. I think about it all the time when I'm like worried about my problems. And then you think about Syria and like Shane could be in Syria right now, like not being able to eat food and like slowly dying or get blown up.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So, I mean, this is very uplifting stuff, but we've gone very dark.
It's really crazy, but, though. Know, it's a fucked up world. Yeah, no, and death's a part of it, right? So that's already fucked that you're born, and when you become conscious of the fact that death exists, you're like, okay, now I have to get good with my own mortality somehow.
Are you scared of death, Kate?
Yes and no. I don't focus on it too much, but when I... Sometimes you have that rare moment where it really hits you, and then that kind of fucks you up or trips you up. Especially when a friend passes, even if you're not super duper close, it's like, oh, fuck, I was just talking to that person 3 weeks ago and they're gone. But it doesn't fuck me up too much. But I also haven't been so affected by death. Some people have had a lot of people close to them die, so they have a different relationship to it. But I don't know. I think it's really hard to get okay with that concept. And not just death of people, but just change and abrupt shifts in life. It can just be really scary because you have to have a lot of faith, I think, to say it's okay, it's worth it to keep going and to still be positive and see the beauty of every day, even with things like people dying and the Syria stuff and the racism that happens here and the whole Standing Rock situation of peaceful protesters getting, you know, sprayed in the face with tear gas. Like, it's hard to come back to your reality and your life and still be in it and try to enjoy the day and be grateful for what you have when you know how much pain is included in this experience.
Yeah. I mean, I always just think of the Renaissance and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like fucking Rome back in the day, fighting tigers and shit. You know.
No, I was saying that to my roommate the other day when we have some mice in the apartment, then they're... Like, I literally woke up 2 days ago. Did I tell you this? No. There was a mouse in my fucking purse.
No.
Yes. Because I had accidentally left a little chocolate in there that someone gave me. So it got in my purse and I woke up and I was like, oh my God, there's a mouse in my fucking purse. And I put a bag over the purse and I brought it outside and dumped it all. It was a fucking shit show. I'm sure my neighbors were like, what the fuck is going on? But I was freaking out about it last night because I thought I heard a mouse in my room. And I was saying to my roommate, I was like, can you imagine back in the day in like New York City 100 years ago, the rats were so big that sometimes your baby would get eaten? Like, can you fucking imagine?
Your like, baby here, getting eaten by a rat?
Yeah,
is that true? I don't think that's true.
I heard that back in the day, the rats could be so big that it could eat a baby. Like, sometimes
Jim, is that
the rats.
True? No way, right? He's going to Google it.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. That's another Snopes thing.
I was like, Kate, that was too far.
Whatever. But no, you get what I'm saying. But here, I'm scared of a little mouse. Like, you had to deal with like the bubonic plague back in the fucking day.
Fair.
Yeah, like think about.
You're like real. That one was real.
That one was real. Yeah.
I mean, think about
they weren't paying the kind
of
rent we're paying.
That's true.
No, okay, I'm sure. They weren't paying rent because they didn't have anywhere to live. They're living in filth and disgustingness and getting shit on and stuff. Like literally, think about how disgusting.
And not
it was.
For fun, kind
like,
of shit
old
on.
School Paris. Like there's
you
no,
to make
there's
that
no,
distinction
there's no like
yeah, there is
sewage
fun.
Systems and stuff. Like yeah. It was just disgusting. Think about it. Think about how bad it smelled. You know what I mean? We're lucky. We got soap.
We do have soap.
Yeah. Imagine having a fuck back then.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been okay. I think I'd rather have sex back then than now.
Why?
Because at least then it's like disgusting. You know what I mean?
It's at its root. You know?
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
It's raw.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's none of this like, you know, like, oh, let's make it nice and clean.
Yeah. It's like
this.
What sex
no,
is supposed
just,
to
we're,
be.
We're animals. Yeah. Let's just
like,
make
I,
it.
I'm not
going
like,
to
brush my teeth.
It's
in
like
old
two
Paris.
Pigs in a mud puddle yeah. just going yeah. at it.
It's like an open mic at 5 o'clock.
You know what I think about though? Back in, if I get UTIs now,
oh God.
Can you imagine us back in the day?
That's why, you know, yeah, people
be,
would die of
what
stuff
I would
like that.
I would already be dead of a UTI.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Not to mention I've had LASIK eye surgery. They
Although
don't have that shit back then.
You probably wouldn't have as many UTIs because you'd be so, your body is so used to the disgustingness.
It would just fight it right off.
Yeah, it's like a fucking machine.
I think back then, like death was just so much more part of like life for people.
Well,
it's
like the
well,
same with
die.
Animals.
Now it's like, I think people are so scared of death because we've all
we
hyped
we
up
feel
in our
like
own heads that
it.
We are this. Yeah, we're this. We're so important. Our lives are so valuable. You know, so therefore, like, oh, we can't die. Whereas, you know, death is really just a part of it all.
I'm glad we could, you know, end this on a really high note.
I mean, it's just Western society that's saying that death is like a negative thing. You know what I mean?
Tina, are you scared of death?
No. That's
I'm
what I was thinking the whole
death.
Time. I was thinking, I don't feel
really?
That way. I'm not afraid of dying.
Jesus
I don't
Christ.
Care if I die tomorrow. I don't think I'm important. Yeah. I've never wow. felt that way. Everyone knows that about me. And the second I say that, they're like, oh, that's so like weirdly Buddhist of you. I'm like, no, dude, I've seen a lot of people die. I'm going to die too. And that's it.
Once in a while, what creeps me out is the thought of what if we're dead, but we're like our minds are still working.
Nah.
Wouldn't that be terrible?
Mm-mm. Not going to happen. You're gonna
do you
die.
How do you know that?
Because it's just the way.
Like you're in some coffin in the floor, like in the ground, and you're mentally.
I
like,
think about that like the Matrix style. Like we're in just a fucking battery like thing.
I mean, I hope not, Tina. I don't.
It
I
ain't
hope
happening.
Once it's over, it's over.
It
it's
is.
Over.
Tina, you don't know either.
I don't know, but I have a strong sense that whatever spirit is made up of the things that's moving and breathing and living inside me.
Well,
it's,
I have
I'm
a
not,
strong sense that my
dies,
spirit and soul
sit.
Keeps going. No, I have a strong sense that that's not true. So we all have our own.
That's fair, and I'm not
strong,
taking it away from you.
No, but just. The way you're like now.
Yeah, no, I feel strongly that's a hard no for
oh, you
me.
Don't, you believe in reincarnation, right?
I do, yeah.
In spirits and stuff. I think I do as well. I do believe in spirits.
I don't.
Oh, definitely. You don't?
Really? I used to not.
And
I used
yet
to think
she can
you were
like
just
talk
dead.
To demons and shit.
I can't talk to them.
Just summon them.
They just
energetically.
Follow her.
They just five never talk to them.
Is there a
them.
Number? So you don't, you're good. You die tomorrow. Is there like a number in your head, Kate, where you're like, if I can live to this age, I'm happy?
Also, I'm going to interject. I'm not married and I don't have kids.
Yeah,
if I was married
mean?
And I had
well,
kids,
you'd want to be
I
dead.
Would,
trust me, you'd want to be dead 2 weeks ago.
No, but I'm saying I'd probably have like more
I
to
may
live
have
for.
Your perspective on that. You would want to live more if you had. See, that's not true.
No?
That's the thing is that you think, here's, let me just say something.
Fuck, I was holding out for that.
I know we have to end
it's true
podcast.
For me.
No, what I'm saying is I love my kids and the best thing, my best time of my life is when I'm like in bed with my kid just sleeping and it's like amazing, right? But that sounds weird.
Yeah, no, it's not.
But
weird.
You know what I'm
don't
saying.
Be weird. Yeah,
but what was I going to say? I thought when I would have a kid, everything it would save my life. You know, I would stop drinking. I would be like, oh my God, now I have a purpose. Now I have a reason to live. And when Henry was born, I realized that this is like, I'm still like me.
Right.
And it's like, not like, oh my God, angels just descended from fucking heaven. I'm still like, oh shit.
Now it's even harder.
Now it's even harder.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, it didn't save me, basically is what I'm saying.
Nothing saves you though. I was actually talking about this in the car right here, because that's what I used to do with men. Like, once I find that perfect soulmate, I'm going to be saved. And that's just not how life works. Because I used to be the same way with the kid. Oh, once I'm a mom, I'm going to get all my shit together. And he definitely inspires me to get healthy. And he's done a lot for me in that way. But he didn't take away my pain. He helped me finally go there. But nothing saves you from you. You have to live with you.
Exactly. Yes. Touche.
All right. We got to wrap this up. So
this is getting good.
I know.
Well, we can cut out everything, all the bullshit about the beds and the
Sex and the City
and all that bullshit.
That was real quick.
He hates the whole Sex and the City bit.
No, but I like Sex and the City, the show.
You just don't like us.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay, so I want to say, where can they find you guys? But you can plug New York Comedy Club and then the whole promo code.
No, I mean, the promo code is really more for your listeners.
Well, okay, so if you guys want to come to a show at New York Comedy Club, whether or not I'm on the show,
exactly.
I am there about once a week, so you can look at the schedule and come when I'm there. Or if you just want to come check it out,
sure.
Nathan McIntosh is there. A lot of people that are regulars on this podcast.
You're only there once a week?
About, yeah. So
I feel like you used to be there a lot more.
Oh, Jesus. He's just saying that to rile you up. Will you stop?
I am writing my transference right now, Scott.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I am right now Zen Buddha. Whatever that fucking means. Anyway, but yeah, if you go and you want to go to a show, put in code INVASION.
Invasion.
And you can get $5
tickets. $5
tickets.
NewYorkComedyClub.com.
And I'll actually be headlining there November 29th with Mike Cannon. We're co-headlining and taping our half hours to submit to Comedy Central. So if you want to come out, you can use Invasion to get $5 tickets. Also, for my Philadelphia people, on December 18th from 2 to 4 at Upper Dublin, it's right outside of Philly, I'm doing my event Going Deep. You can find me on Facebook, my fan page, whatever, to find out the info, but it is on Eventbrite, Going Deep. You can get tickets. It's at the Township Building in Upper Dublin. So come out to that.
I'll be there so bad.
Where can they find Tina?
They can find me at tinaconstas.com, and my Instagram is at tina.constas, K-O-N-S-T-A-S.
Greek?
Yeah, of course. Constantina Constas.
Jim, do you hear that?
Jim, you heard that?
Jim's Greek, I just found out Jim's Greek. Your last name's Panels, but it's really what?
His grandfather.
His
grandfather changed the name because he's smart.
But what was it? Panastakis?
I don't know.
Whatever.
This is ridiculous.
Whatever. Anyway. Greek people are ridiculous. Go on.
Do you have more stuff that you say, no?
I mean, if you want to follow me at the Kate Wolf, Instagram, Twitter, tarot card readings, hit me up, kwolf27@gmail.com.
You do everything, Kate.
What don't I do? If you want to fuck me, it's $100. You can. No, I'm joking.
You're going to get a lot. I'm joking.
So like loved
and dumped.
Loved and dumped.
That's like a thing. People pay for that too. You'd be good at that. Yeah.
If you want me to love you for 5 minutes and dump you for another five, contact me. I will break your heart, including my own. That's what I'm good at.
For free.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Kate.
Of course. Bye.